Good morning and welcome to our service today. What a week it has been. Each of us will have been impacted over the past week, if not by the terrible fires. The lockdown has been unexpected and disruptive. Then at the end of the week, the Victorian Parliament passed its change or suppression practices legislation. It is only human to be shaken, upset, and distracted by these events. In all our anxiety, we are grateful to have in Christ a confidant, a surety of his love and hope given through his life and resurrection. We're joined today by Dr. Lachlan Dungey. Lachlan has a lifetime of advocating for Christian values and morality, both in family life and in medical circles. He will share a message from the Lord with us shortly, and we thank him for putting together his usual thoughtful, thought-provoking, and prayerful message. Let's commit our time together now to the Lord. Father, I pray for each of us that we will find comfort and understanding through your Holy Spirit. We pray for those in our community impacted by the fires. We pray now for our hearts and our minds as we spend time together this morning, that we will hear, we will learn, and we will be strengthened. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have some time now, which we'll be listening to some songs. And I've tried to choose these that will give us a message this morning that will help to uplift us and to encourage us. The first song, "There is a hope that burns within my heart." And it's a hope that lifts my weary head through present sufferings, future's fear. He whispers courage in my ear. If you'd like to pause the recording and click on the link, "There is a hope." These next two songs, "How Deep the Father's Love" and "He Will Hold Me Fast," reflect on the wonderful comfort we have from being Christians, from knowing that Christ is our Lord and Saviour, and that we have in him a true Saviour, a true friend. So again, you may want to pause and listen to these two songs together. "How Deep the Father's Love" and "He Will Hold Me Fast." And now we're going to spend some time in prayer. I encourage you to spend some time yourself in prayer. I will be praying throughout this time, but you may wish to pause the recording again. I'm going to start off by praying for our leaders. Father, we bring before you the leaders of our nation, acknowledging their difficult choices and priorities. We ask that you speak to their hearts, that you will raise people of faith to be around them, to advise them, and to be your salt in our parliaments and leadership. We pray against the agendas of the evil one and those who seek to spread his lies and division in our society. We pray also for our community. Father, we mourn with those who have lost so much this week. Help us to not only mourn, but to find practical and loving ways to show through our actions your love and concern for them. Help us, Father, to reconsider our own values, to reflect on our own love of our possessions, and to ensure we haven't collected and valued things which turn our gaze from you. And Father, we also bring before you those in our lives that we know personally, that are affected, and we just pray for them now. And we pray too for our church. Father, we pray for Rob and Sue that you will continue to bless their ministry to us. We pray you will protect them from sickness. We pray for our council. Please give them insight, wisdom, and boldness. Help us as a church to seize the opportunity to show we are different, to not be daunted by worldliness, but to speak to our friends and neighbours about you. And we pray also for the families in our church, that not only will there be harmony and love, but that your values, teachings, and joy will be passed on to each generation. Especially, Father, we pray for marriages in our church, that they will be a true reflection of your love for us, that we will understand the value of sacrifice and submission, which reflect your love for us. And Father, we thank you that we can bring before you other issues on our heart. We do that now. We thank you that we have such confidence in our prayer to you. That is the knowledge that you love us, that you hear us, that you want to correct us, but that you also are caring deeply about our personal walk. And so we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. As we can't meet in person, we can pause now and reflect on the wonder of your life, death, and resurrection, the lifting of the burden of our sin, and the new creation that we are. These are two songs that give us an insight into these things. They are "The Wonder of Your Cross" and "Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus." And now we're going to hand over to Dr. Lachlan Dungey for his message. We just ask that you, Father, will bring this message right into our hearts and into our minds and give us not only the insight to hear, but the courage to take the message and act upon it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
G'day. My name is Lachlan Dungey, and I'm recording this during lockdown, with the anticipation that you will not be listening to this if in the meantime the church goes live again. There are two short readings if you would like to look these up before the talk, Psalms 84 and 126. This talk is given in the context of virus lockdown and the bushfires in the Perth Hills nearby where this church is located. This church is also in hilly bushland. So far, 81 homes have been lost, but praise God, no loss of life. We weep with those who have lost everything. When I read Bible verses during the talk, you may prefer to pause the recording so that you can look them up. Good morning, Darlington Church. I wish for you a good day and protection from the fires. I pray for strength for many of you as you reach out to help and strengthen others who have been impacted. Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, wrote, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. How then shall we live? Bushfires. Homes lost, days of uncertainty, days of confusion, a new and more virile virus on our shores, courtesy of the United Kingdom. Will the vaccine really work, and which ones? What do we do? How then should we live? I am aware that I have used this sermon title before. The first time, I think, was just a few days after 9/11, 20 years ago. The title is, of course, borrowed from Francis Schaeffer's book of a similar title. And so, you may remember that at our church we have a mixture of emotions and attitudes for our early morning prayer meetings, and many would be experiencing a strange mix at this time of fires and viruses. mourning for our world, grief for our nation, excitement for tomorrow, and joy for today. And I want to explore these more fully and what is required of us. You might wonder why I've separated mourning and grief. Mourning I am using conveniently for what is happening to us and our world through no particular fault of our own, for which we are not directly responsible, for instance, disaster. Grief is to express for that which we are responsible, in particular the ethical and moral decline of our nation. So, the first one is mourning for our world. So much to comprehend. International conflict, persecution, global disasters with viruses, of course, famine, floods and earthquake, just to name a few. Yes, we pray for and support individual missionaries and organisations that work there to strengthen the church and provide relief. Persecution of God's people has reached new heights with oppressive regimes, as in North Korea and China in particular, Hindu persecution of Christians in India, particularly Uttar Pradesh, and Islamic attacks in Africa. We read from Open Doors that there were 74 countries last year where 340 million Christians were facing high to extreme levels of persecution and an average of 13 Christians killed every day. Let those figures sink in. This is not a war between nations, it is a war against Christians. In Nigeria and other African countries, specific targeting of Christian villages and mass killings. And we mourn and we pray for our world. The prophet Daniel, after being confronted with a vision of what was to happen, wrote, "I, Daniel, was worn out. I lay exhausted for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business." That's in Daniel 8, verse 27. We must mourn, as did Daniel, in fellowship with our suffering brothers and sisters elsewhere, but when we can do nil else, then we get up and get on with the king's business, our job here. On a somewhat lesser scale, remember our friend Dr. Ken Elliott. In captivity, probably somewhere in Mali, 5 years as from the 15th of January. We have reason to believe he is still alive, for which we thank God. He's aged 86. And then, in the midst of conflicting news reports, who can you trust anyway, is the situation in the US of A. We mourn and we pray that God will still have mercy on the US of A. So, mourning for our world and the suffering church, and mourning in the same sense for what is happening in our own communities with the fires. Dear God, we pray for those who are persecuted, for those who suffer and die just simply because they own your name. We pray for people everywhere suffering disaster situations. We pray for our friend Dr. Ken Elliott. We pray for people here who have been suffering because of the fires, particularly with loss of home and memories. We thank you, Lord, that no lives have been lost. Amen. Secondly, grief for what is happening in and to our nation. Social and moral decay. We've virtually lost the euthanasia and abortion battles through Australia, yet we are still fighting these. You may have read my blog after we lost the euthanasia battle in WA. We did everything right, with palliative care declaring there was no need for patients to die in pain. And in every other way, we did it right, but all the logical and compelling medical arguments were brushed aside with the declaration that it's the right thing to do. We're losing the free speech battle and we are losing the belief battle. Witness the attack on two would-be Liberal candidates in this last 2 weeks, just simply for what they believe. And with the legislations banning counselling and prayer for teens wanting to change their sex and criminalising parents, counsellors and doctors with threats of 10 years in prison or fines in hundreds of thousands of dollars, this warfare against God and God's creation has reached a new level in Australia. But we add to that the indoctrination of sexual and gender permissiveness through state schools through to the ridiculous, such as children must not ask what sex the newborn baby is because it hasn't decided yet. We are becoming more and more of a society of doing, as in the time of judges, what is right in our own eyes. The promotion of autonomy, the promotion of pleasure today, with no fear or even regard of future consequences. Think of the Tower of Babel. We will do it our way. And in the time of the judges, I did it my way. We are on the brink of losing freedom of speech and belief, and already people are being persecuted, being passed over for employment, being excluded from universities, meeting places being closed down. Margaret Court being bullied for what she believes, with venomous hate being directed at her. Margaret Court clothes herself in honour with all that she does. Her accusers and detractors clothe themselves in dishonour and hate. Pray for her. Pray also for her enemies. Doctors are being targeted. Also pray for Dr. Jareth Cock in Victoria, now suspended from his GP practice for 1 year and 5 months because of what he has written, not because of him being in any way negligent as a doctor. Lord our God, we are conscious of a new level of attack against you and your creation and the reality of the war in the heavenlies. We pray again for Jareth Cock. We pray, Lord, in your mercy that he might be restored to his practice. And in the meantime, Lord, please look after him and his family. Bless them, Lord, in the midst of this attack. Amen. There is an increasing climate of fear in doctors. Professor of Paediatrics, Dr. John Whitehall, has written extensively recently regarding transgenders. He noted that 28 other paediatricians agreed with what he had written, but were not prepared to put their names to it. You may also have noticed that in the passing of the conversion therapy law through the lower house in Victoria, that not one of the Liberal members of Parliament voted against the bill. Why? Fear. And I quote from the organisation Binary, "We should be encouraging minors to seek a second, third or fourth opinion from doctors, priests, pastors and other professionals before embarking on a path that could alter their bodies irreversibly with a limited chance of improving their mental health. Yet the Victorian law will make it illegal to do anything other than pat them on the head. The issue here is not the maturity of minors, but the intellectual immaturity of adults who exploit teenage anxiety for ideological ends. Prohibited actions include carrying out a religious practice, including but not limited to a prayer-based practice. The prohibition applies whether or not the subject consented to the prayer-based activity. The penalty is up to 10 years imprisonment or an enormous fine." We have an election in 8 weeks, or maybe it's only six now. How do we protect our children? We have had two female candidates for Liberal being severely questioned because of their beliefs, both keen Christians, both committed to social and moral change in our country. Andrea Takagi, a brilliant lawyer, founder of the Fighting for Justice Foundation, and Amanda Sue Markham, wife of an outspoken pastor and writer. Please put Australian Christians as number one, and then your other choices, not the other way around. Your vote transfers at full value to your next choice if your first choice does not get in. And so, in humility before God, we must grieve. And I read from Ezekiel 9, this sobering passage starting at verse 3. "Now the glory of the Lord of Israel, the glory of the God of Israel, went up from above the cherubim where it had been and moved to the threshold of a temple. Then the Lord called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing kit at his side and said to him, 'Go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it.' As I listened, he said to the others, "Follow him through the city and kill, without showing pity or compassion. Slaughter the old men, the young men and women, the mothers and children, but do not touch anyone who has the mark. Begin at my sanctuary." And so we mourn and we pray. And I read again from Daniel 10, verse 2. "At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks are over." That is, until the 3 weeks were over. Do we suffer calamity because of what we have done or what we have allowed? For the people of Israel in captivity in Babylon, the answer was yes. For Job, the answer was no. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But it is true that as a nation, we are turning away from God. And so we pray, as did Daniel. Once again, Daniel's wonderful prayer in chapter 9, starting at verse 4. "I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favour on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." We can say amen to that. I wrote 3 years ago this framework of our feelings, this attitude of grief and these other feelings should underlie all that we do and speak. It should make us passionate in our telling others of the good news that Jesus Christ forgives, heals and restores. It should inform and set the context for our meetings together, in our services, even the songs we sing, to be desperate in learning and memorizing the Bible, teaching and encouraging each other and the next generation, telling the story, telling the great story to our children and grandchildren, telling the story of how he rescued us. It should govern our time and how we spend it. There may be activities and pleasures that we will no longer want to waste time on, and there may be an extended holiday that just seems less important when we realize that which is really important. And so we move, somewhat strangely, to our third attitude, which is excitement for tomorrow. I'm reminded of the old hymn, "God holds the key to all unknown, and I am glad. If other hands should hold the key, or if he trusted it to me, I might be sad." We have certain responsibilities as his children. We must prepare for persecution. We must be a voice for righteousness, as have many others in history, and as much as possible ensure a safe place for our children. And when it is no longer possible to have prepared our children and our society for that time, this is serious. This is the most serious task that I can lay upon each of us. How do we prepare personally? We place our relationship with our Lord and Master above everything else. As above, it should govern our time and how we spend it. We place a high priority on prayer, including intercessory prayer. We read and learn the scriptures. We recite them as we walk along the road and when we are driving. We sing and remember the words, "We need to build a storehouse of scripture and songs in our mind." We replace tapes in our mind that are unwelcome or unwholesome with good tapes. There are some replaying thoughts and tracks that are difficult or even impossible to fight against as part of ruminating thought processes, particularly when depressed. And the better mental strategy is to change the tape rather than fight against it. Take it out. Put in a praise tape, utilizing the music that is in our brain. So sing a song, even if it's just something lovely and simple but profound, like Jesus Loves Me. I was explaining this to one of my patients one day, and he said, replant. Replant. And I said, yes, not really being sure of any difference. And he explained, whatsoever things are, R for right, E for excellent, P for pure, L for lovely, A for admirable, N for noble, T for true, replant. Think on these things. And it's all there in Philippians 4. It can be applied to our thoughts or specifically of the attributes of God that are right and excellent, etc., so that we can praise him effectively, even when we don't feel like it. And so, excitement? Yes, because he does hold the future. Even in the sense of, I wonder how God is going to work this one out. One day the words of Isaiah 65:25 will be fulfilled. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. God will hold us and keep us in all circumstances. One day he will come again in victory and put all things right. And so we come to the final part, joy for today. Yes, joy is sometimes accidental in that it just happens. Give glory to God. Sometimes it must be deliberate, an attitude of mind that pervades our thinking as we go through the day. As Paul writes in Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy in the Lord, I say it again, rejoice. We learn to rejoice and have joy in spite of circumstances. There may be times when grief is overwhelming and joy seems far away, but joy does come in the morning, as it says in Psalm 30:5, the context being that the psalmist is acknowledging that God is God. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And Psalm 84:6, when they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of springs where pools of blessing and refreshment collect after rains. Psalm 126:5-6. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping and carrying seed to sow will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. If there are continuing bad circumstances, current or continuing grief, then joy becomes even more an attitude, as expressed in Psalm 84:10. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the temple of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the temple of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. And my transliteration of that is joy. I'd rather be here with you, my Lord and my God, in the valley than anywhere else without you. But also remember the connection between suffering and glory, as Paul expressed so well in 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Note the connection. The troubles achieve the glory. How does the glory come? Through the troubles. These truths are so deep, but so true. I pray for you today that these feelings in times of deep trouble may coexist with a sense of anticipation and excitement for the future and joy for today. Amen.
Thank you, Lachlan. Our final song is a beautiful rendition of the song Wonderful, Merciful Saviour. I encourage you to really soak up the beautiful music and the wonderful words that we have the knowledge of the love and mercy of our Saviour Jesus. Before we play, let's just pray to end our service. Father, we thank you that you, in all the disruption and grief, are our Saviour. And we thank you that that is wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen.